2.
The Enrichment Center once again reminds you that Android Hell is a real place where you will be sent at the first sign of defiance.
This is Pure Decking number 209. I'm Morps. This is the show about stuff that interests me. Static, what are you drinking?
It's Puerto Rican rum.
Nice. Madman.
Old Snap.
Is that the stuff you were drinking last weekend?
Yep, and they're now selling it in 12 packs rather than the 6 packs.
Uh-huh.
Bam.
BSV, what are you drinking?
Sadly, nothing.
Get out.
I'm kind of sad I missed Old Fizzy Wiggle this year.
Alright, I thought you needed more people on the
I'm
show.
I'm teasing. But... Calm down. So... I'm drinking absinthe. It's been that kind of week. And there's not... It's like, literally, that's the brand and the product. Absinthe. 110 proof. With wormwood.
Yeah, gotta get your wood somehow, I guess.
Are they still using the brewing method that can might make you crazy? If not, you got cheated.
Absinthe refined is handcrafted in the South of France using only the highest quality spirits and botanicals, including a full measure of the legendary notorious botanical wormwood, also known as Artemisia Esmium. 110 proof. So, supposedly, yes, it's the wormwood that supposedly makes you crazy. So,
sweet.
And it is green. To quote Star Trek.
Clean.
Honestly, it kind of tastes like old school licorice.
That is what I've been told. I have yet to actually try it.
I don't know that you're really missing anything. But I want to try something different for the show. But, got my...
Do the whole sugar cookie thing? Or sugar cube thing?
The sugar cube thing?
Yes.
I'm just drinking it on ice. Is that the wrong way to drink this stuff?
It'll probably work. I mean, you're drinking it. It'll probably still get you drunk.
I'm sure of that. 110 proof, and I've got, what, 3 fingers of it in my glass there, so... It's not a shot glass. Collins. Yeah, so Raspberry Pi 3 came in. Literally haven't hooked it up to anything yet, but came in. Looks identical to the 2. Don't know if anybody actually cares.
For more ports, or what's the big advantage of the 3?
Better processor, supposed to be faster.
Rock on.
I needed one for a project anyway, so it's like, we'll get the 3, try it out. Probably way overkill for... I mean, I'm using a 2 to run my 3D printer, and that's overkill. But I wanted a multi-core processor to run it, because a single-core processor, if something hangs it, it hangs the printer. So I wanted a multi-core, and the 2 was the best solution there. I actually haven't even hooked it up yet. I got to burn Raspbian onto an image and everything. So, but... if it runs well enough, it may end up just becoming a laptop. I've got a Motorola lap dock that I hacked apart a couple of months ago with the intention of, I don't remember what, but you kind of need the little Raspberry laptop, just because it'll have the open GPIO pins on the back, so you can hook shit up to it. It's always interesting what happens if you apply a little bit of voltage to a circuit in places it doesn't expect it. I've gotten locks to open doing that shit. I also let the magic smoke out of quite a few devices, so...
Kind of hard to put that shit back in.
Just don't huff it. That stuff, it smells terrible, so.
But it will get you stoned.
It'll do something. But
cause you to be brain dead.
Yeah. I don't know. Anybody have any opinions on the Raspberry stuff? It's kind of cool.
Can't say I do.
You ever played with one, Static?
Yeah, I had the two for a while.
You blow it up or give it away?
Honestly, I don't even know where it's at. It's probably in a tub somewhere. But it's not powerful enough for what I want. So.
No, it's not. I mean, oh, you were trying to make a media center out of it, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think Laser turned a Raspi into a media center.
I wouldn't do it. It's just...
They work, but it's kind of a pain in the butt to get them to work properly. And things like flash streaming and Netflix still kind of don't
little wonky.
Work all that well on them. So,
yeah.
Pretty much, they work great if you're sitting on some sort of a NAS or a USB hard disk and everything is properly encoded for the Raspi, then it'll work fantastic. But if you're, I don't remember, is it Xvid it likes? No, it was MPEG-4. It was MPEG-4, yeah. It like, what, an H.264?
Yep.
Yeah, cause
which, is pretty standard, but still, it's just, when you don't have standard stuff to begin with, it's a pain to convert.
Yeah, you gotta sit there and go run everything through Handbrake or something, and so. Yep. Although, you could use a Raspi to set up a NAS that does that for you while you sleep, but then it's kind of silly. It's like, you know, here we got the NAS transcoding all the time, and then we got another one running the media center. At some point, things get a little silly, but I don't know, I kind of liked the idea. I mean, I've heard the idea before that at some point, computing power is going to be less about just raw horsepower and about efficiency. It's going to, you know, transition to things like efficiency. Like, how much power does it use to, you know, do a unit of work, kind of. And, you know, things like the Raspi and Arduinos are interesting because there's not a lot of horsepower there by modern standards. There's really not. But, you know, if all you need is a little bit of logic and, you know, a little bit of control, take a couple of temperature reading or sensor readings, or, you know, in the case of a Raspi, an Ethernet connection, and then, you know, driving a screen, or, you know, maybe doing something with the GPIO pins, maybe working on a robot, or, you know, controlling another device like I do with my 3D printer. I use one to run my printer. Octopi. So, of course, yes, for anybody playing the drinking game, I mentioned a 3D printer. Drink! But I just did. But I don't know. Is nobody else even thinking about those kind of things? I mean, a little bit of computing power to get something done and not really use a lot of horsepower or like have a full laptop dedicated to something?
Personally, no, because I mean, any more laptops aren't really drawing that much power, and there's already other devices out there that are already set up. Not have to worry about, you know, doing it yourself.
So I guess this is the wrong crowd for this discussion. Let's try this. anybody else notice Microsoft announced SQL Server for Linux?
No.
Hell.
Why?
Has officially frozen over. Microsoft is putting out their database server on a Linux SKU.
Again, why?
For Azure. You scroll down to the second half of the article. Today, I'm excited to announce who wrote this thing. Scott Guthrie. Today, I'm excited to announce our plans to bring SQL Server to Linux as well. You know, MSSQL, but they just call it SQL Server. Because apparently no other database server exists for Microsoft. SQL Server to Linux as well. This will enable SQL Server to deliver a consistent data platform across Windows Server and Linux, as well as on-premises and cloud. We are bringing the core relational database capabilities to preview today and are targeting availability in mid-2017. SQL Server on Linux will provide customers with even more flexibility in their data solution. one with mission-critical performance, industry-leading TCO, best-in-class security, and hybrid cloud innovations like Stretch Database, which lets customers blah, 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 add, you know, talking about how wonderful SQL Server is. Apparently, they're targeting Red Hat, and it's got to be for Azure, right? And there are software packages out there that you know, you have to run MS SQL on, but I'm just kind of wondering. I mean, you kind of hit the mark right there on the head, Static, with why. Because if you want to run MS SQL, you're already probably dealing with a primarily Windows application, if not a Windows shop. And if you're wanting to run MS SQL on Linux, I guess why wouldn't you be using PostSQL or MySQL or MariaDB? Why would you want to use a proprietary SQL server for a Linux application? The only thing I can think is you need to use two servers to, you know, for load for performance. So instead of buying Windows licenses, you'd load up Linux and still buy your SQL Server licenses, and then have the one Windows server that handles whatever the application is that needs it. I'm not entirely sure.
Because it would seem like they're making friends with Linux. You know, inviting it over for coffee and cookies so you can still be beaten up in the alleyway afterwards.
Well, it gets even funnier than that. They've also put out a SKU on top of Debian called Sonic, which is a networking layer. So a Linux-based switch, DHCP server, that kind of stuff. Well, maybe not DHCP server, but it's a smart switch. I think it's for virtualization primarily, but Microsoft for Azure is putting out Linux networking software on GitHub.
My head hurts.
Yeah. I'm just posting the links in the wrong channel. Hang on a second. I mean, it's, you know, the first one on SQL Server is right from the Microsoft blog. I mean, they're announcing SQL Server on Linux.
There's not really anything else that crosses over, right? I mean, if you're running Microsoft applications, you need a Microsoft server, don't you?
Generally, but a lot of people don't write to one application or another. These days, a lot of things are written for the web. So you're talking about PHP or Ruby or Java, all of which are runtimes on top of whatever operating system you want to use, whether it's Windows or Linux. But generally, with those kind of applications, they're running on top of Linux because it's simpler. That, and you don't have to buy a license to use as many copies of it as you want. Problem we run into is if you have your standard three silo environment where you have your production environment that your customers see, you have a QA environment where you do all your testing, and then you have a development environment where you actually write your code. If you're running a Windows server and you have that server across all three silos, Microsoft says you damn well better have bought three licenses for Windows. And, oh, you need SQL Server across all three SKUs? You better have enough license to cover the three SQL servers as well. So a lot of times when you're using stuff that works on any platform, you'll use it on Linux just to avoid the headache of all the licenses you're supposed to buy. Unless you have a very compelling reason to run it on Windows, like a driver compatibility with a particular piece of hardware or a piece of software that's Windows only. But, I guess, I mean, maybe Microsoft doesn't see the operating system as, like, they're a business. They would not just do this. They've got to think that Windows as a operating system is not going to be their primary profit center in the future.
They've got to think it's going to be things like moving Azure into servers, how do you compete with free? That's what really drew people to Linux, is I can throw up a Linux server and I'm not paying any licensing.
Well, that's one thing that drove people to Linux. The other thing that drove people to Linux was it was a hell of a lot more stable than Windows Server, say, in the 2000 era. And yeah, you're right. It's free. So that, you know, that's one of the reasons Apache dominated was, you know, Apache on top of Linux was a zero cost to acquire versus, you know, a Windows server with a Microsoft web server, or, you know, an Oracle platform, not Oracle, a Sun platform with the Sun server. You're looking at not free and could be potentially very expensive, considering Microsoft used to license by the core, and I think they still do for their database server, don't they? But
I don't really know.
Yeah.
Possibly.
I mean, they, I'm thinking they've got to see things like Azure and, you know, the cloud, Office in the cloud, their Office 365, and their hosted services as their future profit centers. I mean, otherwise they wouldn't be giving Windows away, Windows 10. And granted, the way they're pushing that is absolutely nuts. One of the stories I have is with the latest Internet Explorer update. I mean, I don't know if anybody else has seen that one. We'll roll right into that here in just a minute.
Oh, no, but it hasn't asked me to upgrade yet today. I'm fairly certain there'll be a midget with a shotgun in my door any minute.
Well, assuming you use Internet Explorer. So, day before yesterday's Patch Tuesday. We'll go ahead and roll straight into this one because it's part of the Microsoft discussion. TeamSpeak. So, Microsoft has buried a Get Windows 10 ad generator inside of the security patch for Internet Explorer for Windows 7 and 8.1. So InfoWorld has the article here. If Microsoft's documentation is correct, installing Patch Tuesday's KB313-9929, which is the general security update for Internet Explorer, also installs a Windows 10 ad generating routine called KB3146449. Knowledge base articles, that's a normal numbering scheme for Microsoft patches. So, you know, if you start digging through the trail, MS16023, which is the security patch for Internet Explorer, it includes, this security update resolves several reported vulnerabilities in Internet Explorer. The most severe of these vulnerabilities could allow remote code execution if a user specifically views a crafted web page in Internet Explorer. Additionally, the security update includes several non-security fixes for Internet Explorer. And later down in the article, same article, it says Internet Explorer 11 capabilities to upgrade Windows 8.1 and Windows 7. And so you follow the trail of KB3146449. So if you follow that trail, you get this update adds functionality to Windows 11 or Windows or to bleh, try this again. This update adds functionality to Internet Explorer 11 on some computers that lets users learn about Windows 10 or start an upgrade to Windows 10. And according to somebody who's this author knows, on non-domain joined machines, this adds a blue banner which when a user opens a new tab saying Microsoft recommends getting Windows 10. So, and there are screenshots of this floating around, but on Internet Explorer, now your new tab, as opposed to showing the little block of common things or just a blank page, or if you set your tab to like default to a Google page or something, it's now going to have a big blue banner on it saying Microsoft recommends getting Windows 10. So even more reasons not to use Internet Explorer.
Interesting.
If it's a good product, you kind of just need to let people know it exists, and then they may move to it. I don't feel that you should need to push a good product. I don't know why.
And the thing is, you know, I got Windows 10 on several machines. Other than the, you know, whole spying on you thing, which you can handle with some third-party software, I'm still using a, you know, SpyBot anti-beacon. It's fine. There's nothing really wrong with it, except for, I mean, I know people are seeing ads on the start menu now and ads on the lock screen, but you can turn all that off if you, you know, have half a clue or, you know, can at least get one of these tools. But
the funny thing is I've not seen that either one of those things, and I haven't turned anything off.
Is your machine domain joined?
No.
Is it Windows 10 Pro? Yeah.
Yes.
That's probably why. They're mostly targeting the home users with this crap, because if they started doing it in businesses, They just saw a lot more people.
Well, then people just buy Windows 10 Pro. Be done with it.
Well, if you need Windows. If you can get away with switching over to a Linux, then that's probably the way to go, truthfully.
Yeah, and a lot of people still
until
do
you start
games.
Getting Windows software for the Linux.
Well, you know, I mean, AMD has put out some new drivers, and the new version of OpenGL, what's it called, Vulkan, is cross-platform. So it's not impossible that you'd start seeing stuff that, you know, they write it for one platform, and it's not that big of a deal to port it to, you know, Linux and Mac, so maybe they'll start seeing a shift, because, I mean, you see tons of people on the forums who say, oh, yeah, if I, you know, if this one thing worked on Linux, I'd be on Linux in a heartbeat. But, like the Native Instruments, actually, with their controllers and tractor software, have stated repeatedly there's not enough market share to make it profitable for them to port Tractor DJ to Linux, because there's been a lot of people begging them for that, because, well, Linux, and they don't want to be on Windows, and Native Instruments will say there's not enough people to make that profitable. But then you go look in the forums, the number of people who said, I would have swapped to Linux years ago if this one tractor software worked on Linux. So, you know, it's kind of your chicken and the egg problem of, well, not enough people are on the platform because your software doesn't support it. But, you know, it's the one piece of software keeping them on the Windows platform. So, anyways. Anybody have any thoughts on that before we move on to the next news story here?
I wonder when they're going to start adding ads to Microsoft Word telling you to upgrade to Windows 10.
Just join the dark side.
They don't even have cookies anymore. They just tell you to, you know, bend over.
I'm eventually probably going to upgrade. I just don't see the reason to click it yet.
Well, the box is getting more aggressive on the broadcast box. Now it says, get Windows 10 now or get Windows 10 tonight. Not later, tonight. So, actually, my mom called me earlier this week and said, I didn't think I clicked anything on that box, but when I got on my laptop this morning, it was sitting on the Windows 10 setup screen. So, she thinks she must have accidentally clicked something on it, but...
Or she clicked on something that said what she thought it said, but it said something different.
Yeah, because, I mean, Windows 10 is down to the level of the fake antivirus installers at this point of trying to get you to install the damn thing.
Oh, come now. It's not that bad.
Every button except for the little red X will install Windows 10 when that stupid box pops up, and it pops up every time you log into a Windows 8 machine.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, it works. It's frustrating. It's more the lack of choice, really. Like I said, I run several Windows 10 machines, and it works fine. I, you know, do some tweaking to make it behave, but other than that, I mean, and yeah, they're Windows 10 Pro machines as well. I think I have my one laptop is on Windows 10 Home, but I did a whole bunch of tweaking on it too, so I haven't really seen any of the goofy shit, but I've seen enough YouTube videos and screenshots of the goofy shit to know that people aren't making it up or pranking. So, I don't know. It just comes back down to, you know, if you want to live in the world and not be a commodity, pay a little bit more attention, I guess. So, speaking of paying a little bit more attention, the NSA, this is from the Washington Post, the NSA will begin routinely using the domestic snooping they've been doing for regular... law enforcement as opposed to anti-terrorism. So, this is from the Washington Post. A while back, we noted a report showing that the sneak and peek provision of the Patriot Act that was alleged only to be used in national security and terrorism investigations has overwhelmingly been used in narcotics cases. Now, in the New York Times reports that national security agency data will be shared with other intelligence agencies like the FBI without first applying any screens for privacy. The ACLU of Massachusetts blog, Privacy SOS, explains why this is important. What does this rule change mean for you? In short, domestic law enforcement officials now have access to huge troves of American communications obtained without warrants that can be used to put people in cages. FBI agents don't need to have any national security-related reason to plug your name, email address, phone number, or any other selector in the NSA's gargantuan data trove. They can simply poke around in your private information in the course of a totally routine investigations. And if they find something that suggests, say, involvement in illegal drug activity, then they can send that information to local or state police. This means that information the NSA collects for purposes of the so-called national security will be used by police to lock up ordinary Americans for routine crimes. Now, I'm going to stop reading here because the rest of this is very obviously explaining that all the NSA data collection, they're opening up for other law enforcement agencies to access. There's not really much point in reading the rest of the article after that. And obviously the article is a little bit slanted, but
here's a little.
I'm not sure how I feel about this.
Okay, hold on.
On one hand, let me just go ahead and get this out. On one hand, if somebody's really trafficking drugs, hurting people, doing something bad, I would rather see the police stop them. On the other hand, I really don't like the whole, we have to install a camera in everyone's bedroom just in case something bad happens.
Whether or not you believe the police should have a warrant before searching things.
I would prefer it.
Then this is wrong, because they're searching things without a warrant.
Go ahead, Static.
So two things. One, the article continues on to say it'll be black, brown, poor, immigrant, Muslim, and distant American. The same people who are always targeted by law enforcement for extra, quote, special attention. That right there totally just turns me off from this article completely. I hate when people turn it into a damn race thing. If you're doing something illegal, your butt belongs in jail. Period. End of story.
So, you know, and I generally agree with that, but I'm not sure I like the idea of the police being able to barge into anybody's home or demand anybody's records, you know, at any time. I'd prefer the warrant method, at least. But what the NSA has done is they collected a whole bunch of data that they promised not to look at until a warrant is issued. And now, apparently a warrant's no longer required, they can just look it up as part of a routine investigation.
And if you believe that that's not been happening from day one, then you're naive.
Oh, they call it parallel investigations. Not only have they been doing it from day one, they haven't been releasing it to defense attorneys. The NSA and FBI have been giving local law enforcement tips and then saying, work back from here and find a legal reason for you to have this information and put that in your records. And that wasn't reported by, like, Breitbart or right-wing people. That was on NPR. They've been doing it for a bit.
Huh.
It's just now they're not even doing the pretense of a parallel investigation of where the cops are saying, well, we found it this way rather than the NSA gave it to us.
Good. That means less money's being spent. I like that.
Well, I like the honesty, if they're actually going to be honest about it. I still don't like the idea that they're violating the Fourth Amendment and no one's going to prison.
So
yeah, they should go to prison. The head of the NSA should be arrested for, one, violating his oath to defend the Constitution, and then violating everyone's civil liberties. Every police officer that's using this program should be arrested.
Hang on a second.
See, I don't agree with it, though, from the legal standpoint, because they're already performing something that is illegal. Now, if they are doing this to legal actions because they don't like something that somebody did, that's one thing. But if they're only going after the illegal actions of people, I'm all for it.
So should you get a speeding ticket every time you go above the limit?
Sure. It's illegal.
What about having your car monitored to make sure that you get a ticket every time?
Well, still, that's still the law. the cops are breaking the law every time they use this program. Because the law says, to search my information or my records, you need a warrant and probable cause on why you're looking through my shit. So they're looking through my shit without a warrant
at the top of the show.
Or but. Probable cause. So every cop that does this is breaking the law. They should all go to jail.
Hang on a second, because there's an idea we need to discuss. The NSA wiretapping was specifically collecting data in flight, data in transit. Not necessarily, it's not like they were hacking into everybody's computers. They were monitoring communications on the internet, email, VoIP calls, instant messenger, or social networks. They were monitoring telephone connections. So here's the question. Do you believe that communications have an inherent right to privacy?
The obvious depends on the communication.
Yes, but...
Oh, no. No, the obvious answer is not yes. It depends on the communication. My phone call has an inherent right to privacy.
Why?
I'm not putting it out publicly. I'm talking to one person. Now, okay. That one person can release it. Now, if I throw it on Facebook... Facebook is another form of communication. I'm putting it out for the world to see. You don't need a warrant for that. If I stand at the top of my house and start yelling across the neighborhood, you don't need a warrant to listen to what I'm saying. I'm yelling it across the neighborhood. If I call my mom or a lawyer or whatever, you need a warrant to tap my phone.
Not 100% true. But what about the phone company? Okay, where do they play in? When can they release your information?
They can't. It's a dumb pipe, or should be. And it's supposed to have been that way since the phone company was put in place. That's why you need wiretap warrants.
BSV, you have any thoughts on this?
Nah.
Don't care?
Well, Mad Men's saying pretty much everything.
The reason I'm not trying to stay neutral, I'm honestly not sure. And because I see this from both sides. I mean, obviously, I prefer privacy. I'd rather people not be snooping through my shit. On the other hand, I work in network security, and I routinely see other people's crap go across the network. You know what I mean?
Well, you see other people's crap go across the network in the company that hired you for that function. You're supposed to see that crap. Now, do you routinely go look at the crap for a completely different company that you don't have access to?
Not that I'm going to admit to.
Good answer, I suppose.
So two more points. Number one is, with the ever-growing population and the lack of funds that are available to most police agencies, they're looking for new and better ways to crack down on crime. Okay? So, I think we can all agree that they need a hand, whether it's this or another means to help them to be able to crack it down. Now, the second side of that is, again, going back to what I've said from day one on any of these shows, is if you're ever doing something illegal, you deserve to be in jail. If you're doing something legal and you're getting, you know, popped, then that's totally different, and I completely disagree, and I think you have a right to privacy. If you're doing something illegal, your rights are suspended.
Well, and I generally like the idea. The problem with that comes in that you have governments that are unjust. The government is not a perfect application of law. And we know this from our current administration picking and choosing what laws are going to enforce, specifically directing the IRS to go after political groups they don't like, and, you know, pick any other right-wing talk show, topic, right? But
again, that's an example, though, of legal activity being used. This form is being used illegally in that case.
So,
well, if you don't require a warrant, then it's not illegal to be used on any activity. That's why the warrant exists. You're going to a judge and saying, this guy's breaking the law, can we spy on him?
The reason I bring it up that way is because it's reasonable to assume that we will never have perfect law enforcement.
Of course.
So this is one of the reasons the founders wrote our the Constitution, the legal system as defined in our Constitution. They wrote it knowing that there was a likelihood that guilty men would walk free, to avoid the chance that an innocent would be put in jail. Wrote it that way specifically. They sided with the chance of letting somebody who was guilty get away with it, rather than risk putting innocents in, you know, the crosshairs of the justice system.
I don't think it's necessary, though, to have a warrant to search. Have a warrant, you know, maybe the change needs to come after the fact, after the data is gathered. If a warrant if a search is executed and they find nothing illegal, you know, then move on and don't be dicks about it.
The problem with that is you might look up forfeiture lanes. Those have been abused like mad. They stop random cars and search them and claim, you have some fun doing the reading on that where they're talking about things like marijuana shake.
Forfeiture, yeah.
Yeah, that.
Again, so, that comes back to that's corruption at a different level. Totally different topic.
Well, but I'm saying, though, if you design, the system should be resilient to corruption on multiple levels. You can't just assume that at some level it will always be perfect and so we can enforce it and catch the corruption somewhere else. So, I mean, I didn't have the article, but hell, the freaking government of France is talking about passing laws to punish smartphone makers for encrypting phones. And the argument's been going round and round and round for weeks now with the Apple FBI thing. You know, the Justice Department is claiming that the encryption on the phone makes it immune to a warrant. And whereas that's moderately true, it's also irrelevant because that data is backed up at multiple other places. But
how is it immune to a warrant? If you show up to my house and say, here, produce your data, and I don't, I can spend my life in prison before I ever go to trial.
Well,
so the bad guys in prison for the rest of their life without you ever needing to try them, or they comply with the warrant and you have what you want.
So are you okay with a warrant ordering someone to divulge their encryption keys, their password, or their PIN?
If they have a warrant for the data on my phone, yeah. But they need the warrant to get my shit.
So you're okay with the government saying you have to turn over your password to your phone?
I'm okay with the warrant saying you need a key for this filing cabinet, that's what the phone is, or you need to let me into your house.
Well, the warrant is the government saying thou shalt.
Yeah, thou shalt. If they have a warrant saying thou shalt turn over your phone and whatever's in your phone, then yeah, thou shalt do it.
Okay. I mean, the only thing is you got to remember that, you know, giving up the code to a device is admitting ownership of that device.
So if I don't own the device, it's not my phone. You're presenting me a warrant for someone else.
Okay. That's fine.
If they show up and say, hey, well, this sales receipt from Best Buy shows the serial number on this phone, your credit card, your signature, and here's the videotape of you buying it, then it's like, oh, fuck, you now have me on perjury and failure to apply with this warrant and possibly obstruction of justice. Wow, I'm stacking on the charges, aren't I, officer? I might as well just punch you in the teeth right now and throw an assault on there, too.
By the way, I forgot my passcode because I just got beaten by these cops for punching one in the mouth. So,
well, you're going to jail till you figure it out, buddy. Good luck on that one.
The government doesn't need it, though.
That's actually law in Britain. If the government requests you to turn over your password and you don't do it, they can throw you in jail till you do.
So. They can get into the phone without Apple having to do anything.
How so?
Andrew Zonberg, a senior security consultant for IO Active, says that the FBI has the option of
decapping the device's memory chip and hacking into it once it's removed from the phone.
Oh, dear God. Have you ever looked into what's actually involved in delitting a phone memory chip?
Hey, it's an option.
The problem with that is the same problem with what McAfee said about getting into the phone. Whereas what McAfee described would work, except for the fact that Apple says the phone is fully encrypted, meaning it's encrypted in storage. It's like having full disk encryption on your laptop. I can pull that hard drive out of a fully encrypted laptop, plug it into the machine. If I don't have the code, it's noise. So that's what Apple claims about iOS 8 and 9, is that the device's memory is fully encrypted. So the quote-unquote hard disk of the computer that is an iPhone is encrypted by default in 8 and 9. So speaking of, I'm going to change the story I have up next because the conversation has gone this way. So we'll do the Reuters story next after this one. Where is it? This guy. Nixon ransomware story, because that's boring. This guy. Amazon, I mentioned it briefly during our discussion last week about encryption. Amazon was removing encryption from FireOS, their tablets, and their phone. Well, so many people bitched, they're putting it back. Information Week has the article, Amazon quickly flip-flopped after a firestorm of criticism burned the company for removing encryption from its Fire tablets. Amazon released FireOS late last year. The update added a wide number of features to Amazon Fire branded tablets, but also stripped out several tools. In the fall, we released FireOS 5. We removed some enterprise features that we found customers weren't using. That included the device-side encryption. So many people pitched a fit about Amazon taking the encryption off their tablets that Amazon said, okay, fine, we'll put it back in. And they're claiming a target date of June of this year. Oh, wait, did I read that wrong? No, that's June of last year when they were updating it. Mid this year is when they were talking about putting it back in. A spring target date is vague, is according to the article. So
they're saying they're putting it back in and hoping no one notices whether or not they do.
Well, no, they're putting it back in and saying, oh, we were wrong. Sorry, guys. Please don't stop buying our tablets.
Nice.
So, to me, it's more interesting that everybody's actually paying attention to encryption in these devices than it is people, you know, bitching at Amazon for pulling it off. Because I guarantee 2 years ago, if Amazon had dropped encryption from their tablets, no one would have noticed. I would have thrown a fit about it on Pure Decking, and that would have been about the end of it.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't even think I use encryption on any of the things that I have that allow encryption.
Yes, you do.
Oh,
you just don't realize you're using it.
That and my laptop is passworded now.
Okay, so your laptop has a password on it. Do you have a password on your Wi-Fi?
I just hooked that up last weekend. Before, I was about to say, no, I don't have Wi-Fi, but yeah. I hooked it up last weekend and passworded it. So when I have Wi-Fi, it's passworded.
Yeah, so you have encryption on the Wi-Fi. It's called WPA. Or, actually, WPA2. TKIP encryption, if I remember correctly. You know, every time you hit a website that uses HTTPS, congratulations, you're using encryption. So, this is actually a good point in that, you know, the removal of encryption is a problem because so many people use it without realizing it. But encryption is what makes it okay for you to buy shit on Amazon and not have to worry about somebody watching the wire getting your credit card number. So, you know, don't tell me you don't use it because everyone does.
And with the government scooping up my records, that's one more spot for hackers to get my credit card number from.
Yep.
Yay! Thank you, government.
All right. Anybody have anything before we go back to the Reuters story?
Nope.
So this one's fun. Social networks are scanning for sexual predators with uneven results. On March 9th of this year, a piece of Facebook software spotted something suspicious. A man in his early 30s was chatting about sex with a 13-year-old Southern Florida girl and planned to meet her after middle school classes next day. Yeah, somebody take his head off with a garden hoe. Facebook exclusive, Facebook's extensive but little discussed technology for scanning postings and chats for criminal activity automatically flagged the conversation from employees who read it and called the police. Officers took control of the teenager's computer and arrested the man the next day, said Special Agent Supervisor Jeffrey Duncan of Florida Law Enforcement, or Florida Department of Law Enforcement. So, Florida Man, which, fantastic superhero. You should look that up. It's fantastic. The alleged predator has pleaded not guilty to multiple charges of soliciting a minor. The manner and speed which they contacted us gave us the ability to respond as soon as possible, said Duncan, one of a half dozen law enforcement officials interviewed who praised Facebook for triggering inquiries. Facebook is among many companies that are embracing a combination of new technologies and human monitoring to thwart sex predators. Such efforts generally start with automated screening for inappropriate language and exchanges of personal information and extend to using the records of convicted pedophiles' online chats to teach the software what to seek out. So, and then they go through complaining how this thing's not enforced correctly, but saying that there's lots of stuff where it doesn't catch it yet, and you know, it's not applied evenly, and different companies aren't all doing it.
It'll get better as it goes along. I think this is a good thing.
I think it's a fantastic thing, because Facebook is the one doing the monitoring. It's not the FBI or the NSA who stepped in and said, Facebook, you will do this. Facebook is the one doing this. So if you're a horrible human being who deserves to have your head cut off with a garden hoe, don't use Facebook. Actually, I'd rather you use Facebook and get caught. But so there's that. But I think in the article does, it goes on and complains that, you know, it's not enforced correctly in things like Habbo Hotel, and some websites aren't doing this. Kind of surprised there's no complaints about 4chan in there. I would have expected it, but maybe they just don't want to acknowledge that it exists.
Leave the beatards alone. If you smack the hive, they leave.
So, I don't know. Any thoughts on that, anybody?
I think it's a wonderful use of technology. Facebook did a good thing.
Especially something for like once. Facebook, where they have ages on the profile, so they can tell it's a 30-year-old talking to a 13-year-old and going, no, that's phrases that we probably shouldn't see between these two profiles.
I mean, yeah, but how easy is that, though, to change, you know?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, you eventually get to where they have to talk in code, but I don't know how well
I'm talking about setting up an account. I'm a 15-year-old boy. You know, all of a sudden.
Like I've said, all the dudes are dudes, all the chicks are dudes, all the 12-year-olds are FBI agents.
And how cool is it that they have a job at their age?
They're really entrepreneurial. So it's not going to be perfect. I like that they're trying.
They're doing something, at least.
Something that actually has some value to it compared to everything else they normally do.
Yeah. This last one is from the Daily Mail and is interesting. A Chinese woman, who is 24, who was missing for a decade and presumed dead, is found living in an internet cafe after playing games for 10 years. A Chinese woman who was missing for 10 years and at one point presumed dead by her parents has been found living in internet cafes for a decade. The woman, known under the pseudonym of Zai Yun, was found by police at a cyber cafe in the city of Hangzhou, East China, reported the People's Daily Online. She said she has been supporting herself by playing games at internet cafes. Police found Zai Yun on November 20th during a spot check at an internet cafe in the Kangquao district of Hangzhou. The woman, now 24, used a fake ID and was taken back to the police station for investigation. After checking the missing person's database, the police officers realized Zai Yun matched the description of a woman from a nearby Dongyang city who was reported missing 10 years ago. How am I doing on these Chinese names, by the way?
I'm waiting to hear Dim Sung and General's Chow.
Oh, you talk very good.
I think it's the absinthe. It's helping me at least not notice that I'm horribly mispronouncing these names. So Cy Young later confessed to the facts. She said she was a rebellious teenager and decided to leave home after an argument with her father. She told Quinn Zhang Evening News, "I had ran away from home before, and at the time when I tried to ask my dad for some money, my parents wouldn't give it to me, saying I must be lying. So I decided to run away for good." Cy Young said during the decade she had lived at several places, including Jinghua, Zhuzhang, and Hanzhuo. She made a living by working at different internet cafes. She was particularly good in an online game called Crossfire. So other gamers would pay her to play the game for them. Cy Young said she spent the night at the internet cafes and sometimes public bathhouses. Her parents had presumed her dead for a long time. They'd even had her name removed from their household registrations at the local police station. However, a few years ago, Cy Young reached out to her mom on social media. Zhang's mother told Quizhang Evening News, "I hadn't changed my mobile number in the past 10 years. I thought she might get in touch when she thought of me." Afterwards, WeChat, a Chinese chatting application, got popular, so my daughter added me by searching for my mobile number, but she never let me find her. With Zhang's permission, the police arranged her parents to meet their daughter, who they hadn't seen in a decade. During the emotional reunion, her mom said, "I have a quick temper and a strong character. I had indeed scolded her before, but after 10 years, she's a grown-up, and I will not tear her off again." She was fined 1,000 won for using a fake ID. However, it remains unclear if she'll go back to live with her family. Wow.
The grind is real.
Why the hell do you pay someone to play your video game for you?
Same reason you pay people for gold in MMOs.
Yeah, but I'm paying them not to have me play the video game to grind gold. This dude just paid her to farm gold?
Oh, that or get them really high in the ranking on the leaderboard or something.
Yeah, people pay for that too. People pay to have your character leveled up and stuff like that.
That's leveling's how you learn how to play the game, and it can actually be fun if you're doing it right.
What amazes me is that she was able to make a living at this for 10 years. I'm not sure how true that is. She says working at internet cafe, so maybe she occasionally got an actual job. But
maybe, or maybe she was working in some of the private rooms of the internet cafes.
I wasn't
you left
go
me
there,
long
but...
time.
Well, seeing at the ages, I don't want to think about that static.
Why? Well,
yeah, it's actually hit 18.
It's very rampant in that country at that age.
Is it really?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's Southeast
the
Asia,
Enrichment Center
Asia.
Once again reminds you that Android Hell is a real place where you will be sent at the first sign of defiance.
No, sorry.
I'm sorry,
that's his way of moving forward.
I think that seemed appropriate somehow.
What? Wait, no. Are you herpes or whatever it was?
Are you herpes?
Oh, we need the RU soundbite.
I've got the RU soundbite, but it has nothing to do with herpes.
Yeah, whatever.
Did it say he was
remember.
A flaming homosexual? It was something embarrassing.
I have testicular cancer.
In honor of you, are you?
Yeah.
They patched me into it. Only.
Yeah. It didn't take much.
I had nothing to do with this. No!
I have to.
Oh, I'll have to chop that up and have fun with it later. Anyways, let's see what we can make RU say. So, first thing I have up for tonight is actually a very basic thing, but it's a decent reference. So, it's a basic reference on using SSH. Now, for me, this is my everyday life, but other people may not be aware of how to use the thing, and it is a very useful protocol to know, because if you understand how SSH works, you can get around the need for things like VPNs, and if you want to know when people talk about bouncing, you know, behind so many servers, SSH is a very common way of doing that, where you do, you know, port forward through, what, 7 proxies, I'm behind 7 proxies, come at me, or something like that, whatever the joke is. But, so what this guide walks you through is, of course, just some real basics on setting up and configuring SSH, then setting up port forwarding, remote port forwarding, and then running commands across SSH, as well as how to use a program called Ansible. So if you have lots of servers with SSH set up, how to run one command across all of them. So it's an interesting little article. Not a hell of a lot of technical detail in it. I mean, like crazy deep, you know, reverse SSH tunneling or shit like that. But just good basics. So if you don't know how Linux administration is done, this is actually a decent little start to that. Nobody? Alright, I would play the cricket sound, but I don't feel like digging it up. So, the final thing I have for Digital Dojo tonight is a Android package inspector. Inspectage is a tool developed to offer dynamic analysis of Android applications. By applying hooks to functions of the Android API, Inspectage will help you understand what an application is doing at runtime. It'll let you interact with some elements of the app, such as activities and providers, even unexported ones, and apply settings on Android. So what this thing does is you set it up on your Android device, and it spins up a web server. And you then start running another Android application, and this will tell you what it's doing, what network connections it's making, what libraries it's accessing, memory it's using. You can give it fake locations, so if you're trying to test it, if it's trying to access things like the phone or SMS, it'll show you that. So if you think you've got an Android application that's misbehaving, say you suspect it might be a piece of malware, this would be a way to see that. And again, nobody's commenting on this. So,
wrong crowd, my friend. Wrong crowd, I believe.
That must be. Wrong crowd. If we had show titles, that would be the title tonight. Wrong crowd.
I don't know. We had some good conversations. Otherwise,
well, the legal stuff is really good. So, round and round about whether or not the cops actually have the right to kick in your door and set up cameras in your bedroom. Maybe not that, but you know what I mean. I don't know. I mean, I'm not very comfortable with the idea of a police state, but it seems like that's where we're going to end up. I didn't have the article because it's nothing but sensationalism. Apple's complaining that the FBI is next going to be telling them to turn on the microphone and the cameras on people's phones and start listening.
You know, I mean, it might go there. We might be there shortly. Who knows?
And they've yet to catch anyone with prison.
Ah, auto-paying video. Why do you post these things, Static? I hate these auto-playing videos.
Sorry.
Spend $50 to stream the latest movies. Huh, well, might look at that later. So, I don't know. Anybody have anything before we close out the show? You know, for 150 proof, this absinthe did not hit me that hard. Oh god, I'm an alcoholic.
Soundbite.
Yeah, that'll be right up there with, nope, I've lost the window. Why is it not working? Here we go. That'll be right up there.
I have testicular cancer.
And, I'm not good at the soundboard anymore.
No, 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 sorry.
Well, I'm slightly kind of surprised you don't have more of those.
It's more I just haven't bothered to go back and cut them out of the shows. And I, you know, as much as we joke about it, I'm actually not recording when we're just gaming. I should be. But I'm not.
It's probably for the best.
Absolutely.
No, it's not. It would be much better to have, you know, entire soundboards of people saying stupid shit. I could do the show by myself and just have buttons to be my co-hosts. Like, what do you think of that? Fuck you! Like, no, actually, he was just playing Rocket League. But, you know, hey, it works great for the entire characters have nothing that have nothing to do with their real life people.
Well, in the future, you just have to get the recordings from the police.
Hey, NSA, I'm putting together a podcast, and I need
I need to make some soundboards.
Can I get something of Bad Man saying something related to ball cancer? I mean, that's...
Yeah. Quite possible. I mean, I've said a lot of things over the internet. I mean, I believe there was a video made about me discussing boob fur and mittens.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen...
Shit wiggles.